Blog Talk Radio. Hello? What happened? Oh, man. My understanding is people can hear me, but my panel is not there. So if you stand by with me for a second, let me see what happened. The studio just went. It says Frank is on. Frank, can you hear me? But can we hear you? The microphone's all locked up at right when it came on air. Let me try something here. Wow. Well, I'm sorry, but if you're listening in, I just had some technical problems again. The studio stats just went down when the show came on the air. So let me do a little bit of searching here and see if I can get the see if we can get the panels back on. Because I need to open up their microphones, and at the last minute they all shut down. I know we're having weather issues here in the office, and that might have caused some issues, but let me just do one thing here. Let me see if I can get the gentleman back on the line, because I need to open up microphones, and this is not letting me do that for some reason. This seems to be a major problem. Those of you that are listening in, we're having some technical difficulties again. I can't believe it. The studio settings seem to have closed themselves, locked themselves down, and are not letting me open up the microphones. I'm still trying a couple of things here to make sure, to see if I can get it back in. If you'll just hang with us for a second, I'm sure that it will eventually allow me to open up the microphones and get the show on the road here. Those of you that are listening, I wanted to say welcome for the show here on January 28th. I'm trying to get everything going here. Must apologize. This is getting terrible. Every week we're having some kind of issues with the technical part. The studio just shut itself down. Last week it shut me down. This week it shut my panel down. So I want to apologize that we're having these issues. We want you to hold on. Let me see what I can do. I'm going through all the networks trying to figure out what is happening here. Let's see if we can get this going here. A lot of things going on out in the world today as I work here that we wanted to talk about today. My guys are all standing by. Live streaming is just trying to get through. I don't know if the Wi-Fi in the area has gone down or something, but that happens occasionally where the Wi-Fi once again, it's Sunday, January 28th, and I do know that if you can hear me, I'm glad you are listening, but let me, it looks like we might be something going on with the streaming. Let me do some things here and see if I can get it back up again. We appreciate you listening. I'm getting all these comments saying everybody can hear me, but I want you to know that we're having some issues here right now, and we're doing the best we can to try to get them up, because without the panel, it's going to be a little difficult to get the show going. So we're going to look at security. I think security might be a problem that's going on. Let me see if I can get that going. Let me let me see if that helped a little bit. If you are still listening, we appreciate you hanging in there with us. We're trying to get the show back up. If some technical issues just happened. Let me see if I can get everything back in here. Don't know exactly what happened. Everything just went down all of a sudden. I'm trying my best to get this up and running for you, but I lost control of the total board, actually. The question is, play an old show, and I can't even do that in here. It's causing me, right, the studio totally went all the way down. Looks like it's going to be me. I tell you what I need my panelists to do. If the panelists could call into my phone, and let me see if I could pick up them over that way, because right now it's just giving me a hard time. It's not letting me get them in online. Don't know why or what happened. Trying to go into the studio, and it will not let me open the studio. But I want to thank you if you're still there hanging on with us. I appreciate that. We look like we might not even be able to continue. I don't know how else to, because I cannot get into okay, so if the panelists are listening, I'm going to text you a number let me see if I can do something and text a number to the panelists to help get them in. Let's kick everything down and let me try to come back together. Let me try something else here. Won't even let me reboot. Yeah, the show must go on. So I need okay. This is really causing me issues. No one can call in because the controls to allow to open the microphones disappeared off at the last, right at the show clicked on air. Last week it cut me off, this week it cut, and according to, there's no emergency number for me to call at the moment. Trying everything I can here. So if I'm going to send a number to the panelists, if they could just call in that number and we'll try to do it through the phone system. So if you're still out there, please hang in. We're trying our best to get this going. I don't know what the deal is here. Glad you're listening. Glad you're staying in here with us. We want to talk about one of the things we were going to talk about tonight is, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up and men should be prepared for Valentine's. And I hope that those of you that are listening are prepared. Now, the panel, if you're still listening, you know, I sent out a number for you to call in. Call in on that number and let's see what we can. The page isn't working. All of a sudden it says the page isn't working. I know that part, that the page isn't working. Okay. All right. So I left a number. I sent a number for the panelists to call in. Let's see if they can call in, and maybe we can do something from that way. We will try our best to have a conversation here. Once again, my name is David Shorter. I hate to say that on a day like today, but we hope that we could get our show up. We had a lot to talk about with you. The panelists, I know they're all there. They're trying to get in. Problem is the microphones are all locked down and they won't open. So we're reloading the pages and trying to get everyone back in again. There were a lot of interesting things that I really, really wanted to discuss with you last week. There were a lot of you on the phone trying to get in, and we had some issues then. We only do this show once a week. So when at the last minute the show goes down, there's not a lot that we can... Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. So right now it's just you and I on the phone.
I know I heard you say the other panelists are on, but they can't get through to you, I guess, right?
That's true. And for some reason it says that we're on, but right now all the microphones, the studio went down, and all the other microphones are shut off because I didn't have a chance to open them because the studio went down right at 6 o'clock.
Do you know if anybody can hear you? I mean, I was.
Yeah, I do know that people were texting me saying that they heard me cussing. which I'm sorry that happened. This is frustrating for me. Is you don't know how frustrating this is. There's Frank. Hello? Hello? Yes. Okay, now there's two of us on the line. There's Frank and Ron, who are both on the line. Obviously, I'm not able to get into the studio. Something happened. It looks like it went down, and I'm not sure what went down, but let's just continue with our conversation, because right now it's just the two of us. If the other guys call in, I will be able to add them. But right now the studio is down. But we're on the air, is my understanding, because I can see where we're on the air. It's just that I can't open microphones. So let's just have a conversation. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Okay. Frank, you
hey,
there?
Hey, Frank, how are you? Good, Ron. How are you? I'm good. Thank you. Had a short weekend this weekend.
Getting shorter.
That means you've been busy, huh?
Yeah, I had to work yesterday, so it was basically a one-day weekend.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Maybe you'll get paid back for it.
Yeah, sometimes I think, maybe it's not even worth the money, because I'd rather have my 2 days off and my peace of mind and tranquility.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I hope everyone.
I understand that.
I hope everyone at your location of employment is listening.
I hope my boss is listening. Saturdays and Sundays, which I think is completely wrong. He should do what they're doing in France.
Right. Guys, let's talk about a couple of things that we were going to talk about. I hate that it's like this, but the show must go on. And I have to make some phone calls tomorrow and find out why this keeps happening. But one of the things, something that came up, and I want to talk about the Olympic gymnast doctor who was just given all these years in prison for the trial that they went through. Do you think that we should be discussing, men and, you know, ourselves should be discussing what it is? It seems like there's now, tonight at the Grammys, there's supposed to be Me Too, hashtag Me Too coming up too, and everybody's doing this thing. And it's, you know, painting a picture of men in powerful positions and things like that. So people should be now afraid to talk to their doctors, and people won't talk, and those kinds of things that doctors have to be now, you know, afraid of even doing anything. I think it kind of created a bad image of a lot of things that could help people. That I think it wasn't good. The press kind of took it and ran with it as big as they could. What are your views on that, Frank?
Well, David, a little contrary to your statement. Okay, I don't think the doctors have to be frightened. I think the people have been abused. Significant numbers of them have been abused by a person in medical practice. And so, you know, we placed a lot of trust in physicians and medical people. But what we're finding out that we've got rotten to the core in a number of areas of our society. And so I think that you're probably going to have a chaperone when you're, you know, particularly the people in this case, primarily the teenagers, have been affected by this trauma that this doctor has caused.
Right. I think he caused a lot of – go ahead, Ron. I think he caused a lot of issues. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I agree, Frank. I mean, in fact, I would even suggest that maybe you're dealing with underage and, you know, not adults like teenagers or younger. If they're women, maybe there should be a woman physician. Maybe that's carrying it to extremes. But I know, David, you think that the media has blown this out of proportion, but I don't agree with that, because I know the problem is much more widespread than even has surfaced so far. I mean, I can tell you, for example, that my neighbor in the back, you know, and she's 67, and she used to go to the same doctor that I did, and she told me that she stopped going to him because he fondled her, you know, and she felt really weird, and she didn't know what to say, so she didn't say anything, and she was an adult, but, you know, she still feels that she was violated. And that's not right, you know, for people in positions of power, you know, doctors and what have you, to abuse that power. And, you know, I think this Olympic doctor is a monster. He's getting what he deserves.
Okay, so you think he deserved 145 years, the max?
I think he deserves more than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that part too. he's definitely a monster.
Okay.
These are kids. These are kids that were violated, and they're repeatedly violated. And I think they had 170 some of them that lined up to testify about what he did to them.
Well,
that's horrific. It just affects their lives, you know, all under the guise of I'm providing you the proper medical treatment.
And you know what bothers me even more is the fact that it went on for all this time and nobody did anything. I mean, I think there should be a full investigation, because I think there's more to the story. I mean, how is it possible that this happened for so long and nobody even had any suspicion? I find that hard to believe.
Well,
yeah, I agree with you. I think this is like Penn State like this Penn State situation, but I think it's going to be a bigger fallout because of the fact that people on the Olympic Committee have got to resign or be fired this coming week. And the people, the president of Michigan State University has already stepped down. And they are now accusing the football team and the basketball teams of not properly handling repeated sexual harassment. So I think part of it is our society. I mean, if you look at some of the things that we've observed recently in our society, is that we don't show a lot of respect for women that are in our society in a lot of cases.
And guess what? It comes from the top. You know, look at our president and you know, all these other actors and doctors and physicians, you know, they get in trouble for doing what they've done. But here we have our president who we know really has no respect for women. And somehow he seems to have gotten away with it so far.
Yeah, money, money, money.
Well, one of the things that I pick up from this is we have all these girls who are coming forward now, but why didn't any of them blow the whistle to their parents? Because it seems to me that in all the stories, the parents are surprised that that happened to their daughters. What is it that we as fathers are not telling our daughters or sons that when these things happen, we need to know about it? Is that we come through a period of don't tell us nothing because we don't want to know nothing? Is it something, you know, we need to discuss with our kids when they feel violated? Because there's nothing worse than a child being violated, and there's nothing worse than the parents finding out about it and people who they're going to go see. So that all these daughters that are now coming out saying they were violated, but they didn't tell anybody. What was the disconnect? What do you think there, Ron? Or Frank, or either one?
Yeah, some people were paid, David. Some people, there were handled payments to them on the Olympic, for instance. So, and some people had reported it, and they had just been dismissed. So that's part of the investigation that's going to go on as well. So there were reports of it. It's just the problem is when you're going against the power structure, it's hard to win that battle in this particular country, I guess in any country for that matter, but when you're going against authority, and authority was, this was an established doctor, high prominence with athletics, and people had made reports, and they kind of ignored it or didn't want to deal with it. They said Michigan State University, that's one of the things that they already know that's happened. So I think, you know, I don't know the parents, but I do know that some of the people that, the young ladies, are recent Olympic champions, some of them. And so that story is going to have to come out of what her parents' involvement was, or if they just, they're closing down the Crowley Ranch. You know, Crowley was, him and his wife were, they were from one of the Black countries, and they had, Nadia Comaneci was one of the Olympic champions. So they came to the United States, and they opened this camp up, this ranch. And most of these people went to the ranch. That ranch is being closed down. And these, you know, so I don't think that the actual people were responsible, but I think that they're, maybe the way they handled their training contributed to it as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Ron?
And so they basically.
Yeah, I think a lot of the parents, actually, I think a lot of the girls reported it, and maybe the parents dismissed it for some reason or another. I don't see how I would dismiss something like that as a parent, but I think I've heard reports about that. I could be mistaken, but I think I've heard reports that they have reported it, but, you know, nobody would believe them because, you know, here's a trusted position with the U.S. gymnastics team. So, you know, that in and of itself is a problem to me, how a parent, when they hear their daughter saying something like that, when they could, how they could, dismiss that. But you know, here we have six Olympic team, you know, going through this, and you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, we're quick to point the fingers when the Russian team, you know, is banned because of drug use or whatever. But we've got our own big set of problems internally too. So, you know, we're not perfect by any means.
All right. Let's talk about the president again. I know we have a lot of conversations about the president of the United States, but there is a big push on for people to turn off and not listen to the State of the Union speech that Trump's going to give in a few days. And I'm on the opposite end that I need to listen to figure out what he's going to say and what he's going to say. But there's a big push that everyone turn off your TV, do not listen to the statements that President Trump is going to give, because they're saying you won't, they're not going to be a lot of truth in them anyway, so why listen to it? So they're trying to get for everyone to boycott it, even trying to get the social media parent companies not to allow the State of the Union speech to be broadcasted. What you think about that, Ron? And what do you want to, what is it you want to, if we do listen to it, what do you want to hear from him?
Well, I do want to listen to it. So, and I think this movement is basically, in my opinion, silly, because you know, what can you gain out of something like that? So I do want to hear what he has to say, because I want to hear all the lies. And I wish what do I want to get out of it? I would love for the president to make, you know, his case for all of his accolades that he claims to have been his during this past year. And I would love somebody, I know that fact checking, you know, when it comes to things like the economy improving is a little bit harder to prove. But I'm sure that there's going to be people out there that that will go by his every word and check everything he's saying. And I just hope that, I know it sounds like I'm being bitter and I want him to fail. I really don't. I mean, I want the country to succeed. And but I do know that he's going to claim a lot of victories that that really aren't his. And I just want that to be, you know, pointed out to all of America to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak.
Well, you, Frank?
Well, I'm on the side that probably won't look at the event on TV. You know, I'll certainly be involved in catching the highlights, because the highlights will be put on the news. You know, the fake news channels. Fake news channels of these days. Yeah. So, but I, you know, I find it'd be very tough for me to have to listen to BS. Okay. And so we got a lot of people with big straws in our country that like to listen to a number of things that this guy says. And he's not a wholesome individual to me. I think in his capacity as the leader of the nation, you know, he should be much better than he is. So I won't be taking the event again. You know, like Ron said, I hope he does well for us as a nation, but I doubt that he really has the capacity to do that. And, you know, my understanding is he has regular feuds with everybody on his staff, other people. What I'm concerned about is how we're going to do with the continuing resolution for, you know, that's been stretched back for another 2 or 3 weeks, if we're going to come to a close down of the government at that time. And I kind of think that we're headed that way again.
Wow.
Well, another closing of the government?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, what he's done is he's put forth, I think one of them was $25 billion for the wall, but he wants to double the number of people that are included in the retention in the United States, with some type of citizenship and some time to follow. And and he wants to, he doesn't like chain migrations. You know, so you can't bring your grandparents over, and you can't have them become citizens, that type of thing. And so I think, and Schumer has pulled back his offer that he had, the original offer that they had. So they're really starting on ground zero. And I just think that they're not going to come together.
You know, what I don't understand is, you know, with this whole DACA issue, I keep hearing, you know, right-wing Republicans, including my two brothers, say, and I heard it on TV again this morning, that, you know, people that are illegal should not have a path to citizenship or to, you know, becoming legal in this country. But
yeah.
correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we talking about kids that were brought here? I mean, they didn't have a choice. They were, in many cases, 2, 3, you know, years old. So how is it their fault that, you know, their parents brought them here illegally?
Well, I understand that they're the same as you, but, you know, the purists, and that's the problem. If we were pure, that would be it would be a really a great thing, but that's what we're talking about. You know, we have a lot of corruption, and so these students are really Americans in all the senses, except for they don't have because of their parents.
Right.
And we've done this, I guess, in 2013. We brought in a number of people, and so I think that. You know, I think that it would continue to happen, and some of that we've caused ourselves. Because again, I've had some experiences where the U.S. government has invited the workers over so they could finish projects, but they didn't have enough American citizens available to do jobs, such as when they did the Atlanta Olympics. So I think,
go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I've heard about that, too.
All right.
Plus, the other factor is we need young people in our country because we didn't produce enough young people. We need that to take care of the Social Security issue while we have Social Security.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you need a broad base of young good people working on a regular basis to pay for the older people.
All right. I want to come up with something else that happened, and I want to hear what you guys are thinking about this. But they took prayer out of school, and then the state decided to vote, and so Louisiana put prayer back in school. So now we have a young lady in Louisiana who says that she's suing the district to take it back out of the schools because in the mornings they're allowed to when the bell rings, the announcements come on, and then after the announcements, the students have to say the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer. One of the students reads the Lord's Prayer. And so she says this is, she's now an agnostic, and she says this is against her beliefs. So she's suing the state of Louisiana to remove prayer from schools. Ron, what do you think about prayer in schools? And what do you think about a student who's 17 years old suing the state to take prayer back out of the schools?
Well, I you know, I have nothing wrong with people praying, but I think it should be kept out of the schools personally. You know, because there are people out there that are, like you said, agnostic, atheist, whatever you may have, that we're violating their rights, their civil rights as non-believers, or, you know, that, and they're being forced to do something that they don't feel comfortable doing. And, you know, there's, I mean, whatever happened in the separation of church and state. So, and I know that prayer is not necessarily a church, but I think it's schools. Now that's different than saying I pledge allegiance, you know, to the flag. I think that's a whole totally different topic. But as far as prayer, I agree with the girl. I think it should not be included in the schools.
Frank, what do you think?
Oh, I agree. I agree with that as well. I think that prayer should have never been in the school. And one of the reasons why we're not true to ourselves. In other words, we have people pray, but some of the people that are leading the prayer are not good, fit people. And some of the people that have these religious values are not good values. All right. And so we haven't been able to sort that out. And having it out of school, having it so you don't have prayer in school, I think it's a better part. If you want to pray, you should go to church. You can stop by your chapel on the way to school or after school. And there is no reason to have it inside the school, as far as I'm concerned. You can pray to yourself. If you want to take 5 minutes out, you can say it. And I don't think it should be a formal process beside the school.
Do you think that maybe
what happens?
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was going to say, you know, I'm assuming that these are Christian prayers. You know, what happens if you have a Muslim kid in the class?
Right.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. I chair a Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy, so we have all types of religious people that are on the board. And so we have people, you know, that don't even see God as a single person that are part of this. So when you start doing religious prayer, you're looking at not being inclusive of everybody.
Right.
And that's a problem in itself. And for instance, when I was asking, I think it was the Quakers, I was saying, hey, could you lead us in a prayer? Well, their prayer is silence, I believe. All right. So it's a silence. And if they should have any prayer, that's probably the prayer they should have. It's just silence.
I agree. And I don't know what the prayer is in Louisiana that they're talking about, but I guarantee you, they do
pray some
Jesus Christ. I'm sure they do. So
yeah, it's some southern religious process. And I guarantee you it's not inclusive of the total amount of various different religions that are on this planet.
Because it's the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father who art in heaven, that prayer, which is basically a Christian prayer.
Right. So again, what about the Muslim kids or the Hindu Buddhist, you know?
Right. So I think
Sikhs or the Hindus, yes, or the American Natives.
Right.
Yeah.
I think a minute of silence would be easier to me, or have a club, you know, a religious club. You need that. You can have because all schools have clubs. You can have a club for a religious club of some sort, but then that would probably be protested also. One of the things that
David, who
say what?
I'm sorry, David. I was going to ask you, who is pushing to have prayer in the schools and why?
That came from, they passed the law there, so it had to come from a legislator to open it back up. And they, I guess Louisiana is more religious than most of the other states, and they wanted it back in the schools. So it had to come down, and it had to be approved by the governor to put it back in the schools and the school boards.
Wow.
So, but
I don't think of them as being more religious, by the way.
True that. But one thing
that's the problem. That's the problem.
One thing about schools. Another thing that's really getting in my mind is the school shootings. Of course, we had another one last week. Two young people were killed in another school in Kentucky. You know, there's guns everywhere. I don't know what it is we can do to help control school shootings, but it used to be when you got mad with somebody, you had a fight and you went spayed in suspension or something and got put out of school. Now kids are taking their guns from their parents' houses and going shooting the people. We as fathers really need to put in our minds this that's going on and get these guns either locked up or out of the houses. And we need to have a lot of conversations with our kids about guns. Do you think kids should know that you have guns in the house, or do you think kids should be taught about guns? Where are you on guns, Frank? Guns and kids. Which is that?
Well, David, David, I lived in Alaska. I had at sixth grade, I had a shotgun, a .22 shotgun, a combination weapon on top of the rifle, and we used it to hunt. You know, basically hunt it every day, and that's the food we would use to eat during the winter months and everything. I think I told you that inadvertently one day in my excitement to show my grandmother how I could make this bolt action weapon into a semi-automatic. And that's the reason why they gave it to a sixth grader, a non-semi-automatic. I actually discharged the round, the .22 side of it, right through the floor, right between her shoes.
Wow.
So, and we were in a very close proximity to each other. So, and we're not, there's no hospital in 100 miles from where we are, that type of thing. We're in Alaska. So, you know, that taught me a lesson. In administration is what I do in the military. And so I'm always looking at the photographs of people that have been shot, killed, and whatever. We also are investigations where I'm always involved in. And we don't trust military persons in a peacetime setting to have weapons that are loaded, because we know that accidents will happen. We know that people have down days and they could take their lives and will do so. So I think, you know, to me, a weapon is kind of the scourge of the land. And it takes the focus on all the other good things we could be doing, and the focus stays on the death. And so we've created a culture of death. We've got a lot of weapons. We've got, I think, more weapons than our people in this world. And, you know, we have 300 some million people. And we just keep proliferating the weapons. So I don't know that telling your kid about the weapon, not telling your kid about the weapon, I think you shouldn't have a weapon. That's my thought process. If you do have a weapon, I think you should keep it in a place that your child should not have access to it. I think that if you like to go hunting and stuff like that, which I have a high appreciation for people that are hunters, I think then you ought to train your child as the proper use of a weapon. Okay, and so, you know, weapons can be fun on target practice and things like that, but what has happened is we have so many of them now that I had a guy that I used to golf with, and one day I just happened to look on the net, and my guy likes to drink a lot. He's from Alabama. He likes to drink a lot. And so one day he has a shootout with the police.
Wow.
Right? Him and his wife have an argument. Police come to his house. They fire a couple rounds into his house. He fires a couple rounds out in the street. Okay. Yeah. So that's what happens when you have a weapon.
I have another question. Do you think that the parents should be prosecuted? Weapon that the kid used in school belonged to the parents and wasn't locked up or wasn't put someplace where the kid wasn't locked up, really, because there shouldn't be any place where a kid could get it. So do you think the parents should also be prosecuted? How about you, Ron?
I don't, that's a tough one, but part of me, most of me, I think, says that no, the parents should not be prosecuted. Because they could lock it away and hide it or do whatever, but, you know, that there's still some smart kids out there that are going to find it somehow and are going to do whatever they intended to do with it. I was going to say that I don't think the problem – I agree that I don't think, you know, people should have guns, especially, you know, just for any reason. You know, there's some people that have 4, 5, 6 weapons out there. I mean, what's the point of that? But I think, you know, I think talking to your kid about guns, I mean, come on, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I used to play Cowboys and Indians. They used to run around the street with fake guns, you know, shooting at my friends. And I didn't turn out to be, you know, a serial killer or anything like that. I don't even own a gun. So I don't think the problem is talking about guns. I think, you know, and we touched on this, I think, many shows ago, but, you know, there's all these video games and all this violence on TV, and it's just, you know, pervading our society to the point, I think, where gun violence and, you know, shooting and killing people doesn't really affect you like it used to, you know, when I was growing up, and I'm 54, so to give you some perspective. But I think, you know, and even if you look at some Latin American countries, I mean, you grow accustomed to it. I mean, when people die all the time of gunshots, and, you know, it just becomes like second nature, kind of, so to speak. But I heard something actually just today or yesterday that shocked me, you know, because I thought, you know, well, obviously there's a lot of countries where, you know, the citizens, you know, where they don't have guns. Here we do. And I thought, you know, that guns were out of control here. But then I saw this report about Turkey. Did any of you see that? Where about a third of the population has guns, and now you've got guys going out and shooting their girlfriends because they don't like something they said, and, you know, and how it's getting out of control in Turkey. Did anybody hear that?
No, I didn't hear.
No, I didn't, but I'll check on that. Thanks for that info, though.
Yeah, they said about a third of the population there has guns, and it's becoming out of control. So, you know, I'm glad I don't have a gun, because, you know, sometimes I'm pretty even-tempered, but especially driving down here in Miami, I get irritated sometimes. And if I've wanted to have a fake gun and just pointed at somebody,
wow.
But I mean, I know
you're going to go to jail.
But I felt like doing it, you know, because they irritate me so much that I just want to, you know, but here they'll pull a real one out and shoot me. So what's the point?
Right. Do you know that on the desk, speaking of automatic weapons that Frank brought up earlier, do you know that on the desk in California right now, they are trying to pass a law where automatic weapons can be used in California everybody can have one. You can use it to hunt with. You can use it for anything. So right now in California, they're about to pass a law that says automatic weapons will be legal in California. Frank, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's crazy. There's only a few people. I think it's crazy. You know, when I lived in Alaska, you know, you'd want a weapon, but not necessarily automatic. You know, if you go, you're going to shoot bears, you're going to shoot large animals, but this part of the sport is not the automatic weapon. That's not a hunter's choice. You know, that's some person that's basically taking advantage of the hunting situation. So, and in California, there's no place hardly that you could, other than Palmdale area and out in the mountainous region, where you want a weapon at all.
Right.
I mean, everything else is in the cities. So if you fire a weapon, you're likely to penetrate someone else's house or cause a fire, that type of thing. So, yeah.
I think that's...
But that's what I would... That's the point. That's the whole point. We've gotten so that we really just... Guns have become our god.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
And nobody's doing anything about it. It's getting worse. And nobody, you know... Poor schools. You know, I think schools
right
now have to have metal detectors when you come in. But with all the belt buckles and everything that kids are wearing these days, that's going to be very difficult to manage. And kids are very smart. They'll put some guns somewhere, and then at gym time, run and get it, and you won't even know it. So it's just getting crazy. Guns, we had the opportunity to take the guns off the table, but that doesn't seem something's going to happen. Actually, if California passes it, you know, then the other states are going to try to do it, because California always starts these laws that go, then they move through the country. That's too bad.
Yeah, they're going to have a few, one of the other issues, they're going to have a few mentally unstable veterans also they're going to contribute
right
to the the problems, okay? And these are people that are trained in the weapons, the use of the weapons through this, these multiple years of wars that we recently had. So I think we're, you know, it's just going to be more of the same situation that we saw like in Las Vegas recently, and someone will come up with another, another type of that situation like that where a lot of lives were lost. And we'll certainly cover it then, but then it'll always be something different.
And
so
you
we'll
know,
all be, yes.
I'm sorry,
ahead.
Frank. I'm sorry to interrupt. But, and you know what?
No, good.
Is that, you know, what happened in Vegas, for example, we already forgot about that, and we moved on, and nothing changed, you know, and that's just going to keep happening. And that's why I say it's kind of become second nature. How many times are we going to go through tragedies like that? And I know that we have politicians that say that, but, you know, put your money where your mouth is. I mean, nothing has changed as far as I know. It's going to keep happening and happening, and, you know, we're just going to grow so accustomed to it. I mean, to me, I hear something like that. Yeah, the Las Vegas one was a bit shocking because of the magnitude of it. But, you know, you're just getting more and more used to this kind of violence.
I want to change the conversation just a little bit. In this conversation, it's good because I think both of you are both Roman Catholics, so I want to talk about something that Roman Catholics know about. Maybe not very many people do, but are you familiar with the three tales that Our Lady of Fatima told the three kids when she appeared to them? And two of them were public, and one was supposed to have been not told to the public until the nun who passed away, and the popes knew what it was, but they were told never to say this until after her death, and then so many days after her death. And there was some theory about the pope who resigned and stuff, who knew and told some people, and that's why he had to go. But do you know what the third thing is that the Virgin Mary is supposed to have told that nun? Do you, because now they've told that it's coming out now what it was. Do any one of you know?
I do not.
Okay.
I don't.
It was said that one of the popes would be Antichrist, but that was just put out as what just came out just recently was the Earth will have a the Earth is there's a planet that's going to pass the Earth and run into the Earth and cause extreme devastation to the planet. And I saw the other day that in 2018, there is a planet going to pass Earth sometime in 2018, very close to Earth. So now I'm trying to do some research on making sure that I understand what this third thing was that the Virgin Mary told the nun. And I want to research it because now scientists, and it's been kind of quiet, that there is a planet on its way. And sometime during 2018, it's going to pass very, very close to Earth. And it was right about now that this was supposed to come out, that the date that the nun told to make it public was right about now-ish. And
maybe it's time to start building our bunkers.
I think so. I'm a little concerned about this because...
<Yeah. laughs> Me too.
Wow. But okay, so we got 10 seconds left. I want to thank everyone who hung in there with this. I want to thank both Ron and Frank for, I don't know, and by the time I can do screaming at the people about this program tomorrow, I'm sure we'll be good next week. I want to thank everybody
take
for... No, I'm letting it out. Like 2 weeks in a row, can't do this. All right, so we'll see everybody again next week
good
at
night,
6
everyone.
O'clock. I promise you we'll be okay next week. Thank you, Fred. If you hung in there, thank you so much.
Try to have a good week.
Yeah, no.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
You're
all right. Bye-bye. Bye.